tuned into them this morning, and we pray that we would hear what you have to tell us. And we pray for those that are traveling this morning, Lord, that you would just give them grace to be able to drive on these roads. And at some times are going to be slick today, and we pray that you would just keep everyone safe. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, 1 John chapter 5, we left off in verse 11. The Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. last week we were going through this, that God gave us a record, and the record is in it's his words here on this earth, and it's recorded, and they're here for us to read. And there's a reason for that, and that's because we have, our feeble minds. We like to add things to the Bible, and we like to subtract things to the Bible, if it benefits us. If it benefits us, I mean, if you look back at the beginning in the Garden of Eden, I don't know if there was a record that God had written down his words, but we know he spoke them, right? And you see how easy, if something's not written down where you could verify, how easy something could be perverted and things could be added to and subtracted from. It's very easy. So God gave us a record. His record is here on this earth. And thank God we have it in our language, right? It could be in Hebrew and Greek still, and it could, what if it wasn't translated at this time? We'd be sitting here having to go back into the Greek and Hebrew to figure out what God wants for us, but we don't have to do that. The Lord provided it to us in our language, and we praise him for that. Verse 11, and this is a record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Eternal life is a gift from God. Okay, it's a gift for one reason and one reason only. And that's because God is the one that has it. And he is the one that offers it. And he only gives it to those who receive the record of his Son. That's who he gives it to. He doesn't give it to those that don't believe that record, that don't receive it. You can't earn salvation by what you do. We saw that back in the garden, or after the garden with Cain. He tried to earn his way to heaven. You can't. Nothing, no good work is going to get you to heaven. No good work is going to give you eternal life. You can't pay for it with money. If you don't receive the record, you guess what you did? You have made God a liar, and you get no eternal life. The Bible says, verse 10, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And so for those that don't believe it, they've made God to be a liar, they get no eternal life. But you know what they do get? They get eternal death. Eternal death. And then that's in the lake of a fire. And so salvation, eternal life, is a gift. Life isn't in the church. Life isn't in the religion of the church. Life is in, it's not in the water, and it's not in speaking in tongues. It's not in any of those things. It's in the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, okay? Verse 12, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, these are all one-syllable words, folks. One syllable. A child can read this passage right here, verse 12, and understand this. Why? Why doesn't the intellectual get it? Intellectual? Intellectual? Yeah. Intellectual. I'm still trying to learn the English language. But why don't they get it? Why don't they get it? A child gets it. But those that are educated, they don't get it. Now, you have to be a fool not to believe this, folks. And it's just plain stupid not to believe this. The Creator of the world, of all things, made it very simple. Made it very simple. You know, I don't know if you've ever trained a dog. But usually when you train a dog, you give the dog a name with two syllables. And all the commands that you give that dog after that are one-syllable words. Why? So that the dog understands his name or her name from the command you want it to do. Folks, dogs know how to obey one-syllable words, right? And yet, the educated of this world, they just don't get it. It just amazes me. It's amazing. It's no plainer than it right here in verse 12. Notice again, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath. It's present tense. You can have this life right now at this very moment in time, folks. It's available for you right now, and it applies to you the moment you receive the record of his Son. And for any unsaved person, that's when it applies, and it applies for forevermore. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, why was God's words preserved and recorded? Right? So that you would believe on the name of the Son of God. And so the most important thing for anybody to do on the face of this planet, folks, is to believe on the name of the Son of God. That's the most important. That's why he wrote them. That's why it's recorded. It's recorded for that purpose. And just wait. Wait until you get to heaven. And then Jesus starts to open up all the scriptures concerning himself, right? We're just touching the surface here. I mean, there's an eternity out there for God to show us these things. And I believe it's probably gonna take eternal. If this is an eternal book, it's probably gonna take eternity for him to show every little thing. And I don't know how to explain that because it's all contained right here, but man. Just imagine what, and then all the things that weren't written down that he did. The Bible says the world couldn't even contain the books if they were written everything that he did. So wait till we get to heaven. It's going to be an amazing thing. And when Jesus starts to open up the scriptures to you and to me and to all those that are saved. Now, you have it very clear here in the New Testament. The things about Jesus. It's very clear. But in the Old Testament, it's not that clear. We have the hindsight. I mean, we could go back and look and see, ooh, there. But we still don't know everywhere where he's at there. And but folks, the second reason, that was the first reason, so that you would believe on the name of the Son of God. That's why it's recorded. The second reason is so that you can know that you have eternal life. Look at what it says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? Now, how is it that some men will tell you that no one can know? How is it? And he gives, nobody can know that he has eternal life, and nobody can know that God chose them to have eternal life. Nobody can know, right? How is that? Because they've made God a liar. They've made him a liar. Because if they believed God, they'd believe his words, and they would know. They would know. And so they make God a liar and they say, well, nobody could actually know. Nobody could know. And so here again, verse 13, you have the reiteration that you may watch it, and that he may believe on the name of the Son of God. Folks, it's everybody's choice whether they want to believe on the name of the Son of God. It's everybody's choice, right? And And God doesn't just allow some to come and believe on his name, and some he doesn't give that opportunity. He gives that to everybody. He gives everybody permission. You have permission from God. It says right there. And that he may believe on the name of the Son of God. Everybody has permission that they can believe on the Son of God, but not everybody does. Not everybody does. And it's not just a select few that have this permission. It's everyone. And we've seen that. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we see that throughout the Scriptures. Verse 14, the Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. He heareth us. And if we and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Now, a Christian can have confidence in God, that God will hear him when he asks things of him. He can have this confidence. Now, it's a wonderful thing, folks, to know that when God hears his children, that whatever that child asks, that we have that petition that we desire of him. Isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. Now, most will read this verse in verse 15 without ever considering that there are qualifications that need to be met for these petitions to be answered. They never give it the thought. And yet, it's right in the verse before it, before verse 15. Look, if you wouldn't, back in verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And so, the first qualification that needs to be met is that a person must get into the Son, right? Look at the first qualification. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That's the first qualification. The confidence that you have only comes when you're in Jesus Christ. That's the only time it's gonna come to you. And the way to get in Jesus Christ, right, is to believe on the name of the Son of God. And we saw that that's to believe that he has come in the flesh. And wrapped up into that saying is the gospel. But look, if you would, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Second Thessalonians. 1 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. There it is, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, right? Jesus Christ is God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And so, what does it mean to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, right? To believe that Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, right? It's to believe that. That's what it means to believe that, or to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And when a person believes that and sees and believes what God did for sinners, they get to enter into the Lord Jesus Christ. They become the body of Jesus Christ. And look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. The Bible says, for as the body is, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into that one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So as people receive the record that God gave of his Son, and they believe it, they get to enter into the Lord's body. They're part of his body. Okay, that's very clear. And so if somebody told you that the way of salvation is by water, guess what happened? They lied to you. They lied to you. You don't get into the body of Jesus Christ by water. The word water isn't even mentioned there. It's not. And so if somebody told you that you get into the body of Jesus Christ by the experience you had, that when after you got baptized into water or whatever, that you started speaking just gibberish, right? That if they told you that that was the confirmation that you needed to know that you were in the Lord's body, they lied to you, folks. They lied to you. Okay? And the Bible says we're placed into the body of Jesus Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say anything about speaking in tongues, and it doesn't say anything about getting baptized in water, folks. It doesn't. You're baptized into the Lord, into Jesus Christ. And so, and that's by the Holy Ghost. And so, if you're in Jesus Christ and you've received him by faith, right? You have to do that to get into Christ. You've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then you know what? You can have confidence. Look, if you would, in 1 John. 1 John, verse 15. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. And so there are conditions to having God hear our prayers and answering our prayers. First, you have to be in Christ. And second, you have to pray according to God's will. You do. Look at verse 14 again. And this is a confidence that we have in him. In him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And so for somebody to say that to you that you'll receive whatever you ask, right? As long as it's in Jesus' name. And you have people out there that'll say that. You can get you everything you ask in Jesus' name, it's yours. Really? That's not 100% correct, folks. That's not. And God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father have a will. They have a will. And what's God's will for everybody? That they'll love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, right? Right? With all thy strength. You love the Lord. What's another one of their wills, right? That you love your neighbor as yourself. Love thy neighbor as thyself, right? And what has John been talking about throughout this whole book? Back and forth. Loving God. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with the Son, loving your neighbor, doing right for your neighbor, all that other stuff. And so, love you. And so, folks, God's will for you is to believe and obey the Word of God. That's what it is. And because you're a child of God, God is not going to give you just anything that you ask for. Now think about what I just said there for a moment. Those of you that have children, do you give your child everything that they ask of you? I mean, do you? I mean, when it's dinner time, do you ask your children, what do you want for dinner? Right? What are they going to say? If you give them whatever they want, they're going to eat sweets. They love sugar, cookies and cake and ice cream and all that good stuff. And you can't just feed a child that, folks. You can't give a child everything it wants because that'll hurt that child in the long run. And same thing. God, he's not going to just give you everything you want unless it lines up according to the Word of God and according to his will. Or if it's not, it's a vain thing to ask. It's vain. And so, as a parent, just as you love your child and you want that child to succeed and to grow up and be healthy, so God wants his children to succeed and grow up and be healthy. And so God's not going to answer a prayer that doesn't line up with his will. It's not. He's not. Look, if you would, in Matthew 7:11. And thank God for that, because you've heard the term before. If you'd be in trouble if God gave you everything that you ever wanted. Probably be in a gutter somewhere. I know I would be. The Bible says, Matthew 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, right? You know how to take care of your child, or you try your best, raise them up and make it to where they are healthy and everything else. You try to feed them good things and give good things to them. The Bible says, if ye then, being evil, you know how to do this, being wicked, evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Right? God's going to give you the things that are good for you. And he's not going to give you the things that are bad for you. And if it's bad for you to have millions and millions and millions of dollars, guess what you're not going to have? Right? But if it's good for you, guess what you're going to have? If it's bad for you to have a whole bunch of earthly possessions, guess what you're not going to have, right? Look at Paul. Look at Jesus Christ. They didn't have any of that stuff. I mean, they had just the bare necessities, it seems, by the Bible. Paul didn't have anything when he died, a couple parchment papers and maybe a couple books and maybe the clothes on his back, and that's about it. But God knows what's good for his children. He'll answer your prayers according to his will. He doesn't answer things that doesn't line up with his will. Now, these are not the only conditions, folks, in the Bible for answered prayer. Praying according to his will and being in Christ. Those aren't the only conditions. First of all, if you pray and your heart is condemning you, guess what? Guess what's not going to get answered? Your prayers. Look, if you would, in 1 John 3:21. The Bible says, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive him. We receive of him. All right? Because we keep his commandments. Folks, if your heart is condemning you, you're not keeping God's commandment, you're not keeping his words, guess what's going to hinder the prayer life, right? If you have sin in our lives, if we have sin in our lives, that'll hinder prayers. Look, if you would, in Psalm 66. And we've gone over these before, but it's just a repetitious thing that we're doing here. Psalm 66:18. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Very plain. And so, again, if husband and wives and your personal relationships with men and women or people in general, if they're not right, folks, guess what hinders our prayers? Look, if you would, in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3. Likewise, this is talking about the wives. Ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word. They also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Right? Your relationship in the family at home need to be in a right position according to the Bible. And that's the way the Bible lays it out. He doesn't just point the finger at the wife. It's a joint thing there, folks. And when the marriage relationship isn't right, and it's not according to the Word of God, prayers don't get answered. Or if they do, they're hindered. All right? They're hindered. And who knows by how much time? Probably until they get right. Again, look, if you would, in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Now, in this context, it's about giving gifts. But if you look at it as a relationship type deal, the Lord wants your relationship with your fellow brother and your fellow man to be right before you ever do anything for him. Right? Or probably ask of anything of him. Look, if you would, in Matthew 5:23. The Bible says in Jesus, is it 5:23? 5:23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift. The Lord doesn't even want the gift, folks. And you think he's going to want to hear your prayers? If you and your brother aren't right, that's going to be a hindrance, folks. Any kind of sin is going to be a hindrance to the prayers that you bring to the Father or to the Lord Jesus Christ to bring to the Father, because he is the mediator. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way first, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift. You know what the Lord wants? Your relationship between fellow man right. Why do you think John beat on this? Because in the end, and that's where we're at, the end of the chapter of 5, if your relationships aren't right with man, they're not right with God, and your prayers are not going to get answered. There's conditions to getting prayers answered. And so if a Christian abides in Christ, in love, and obedience to the Word of God, he can be assured that his prayers will be answered. John 15:7. John 15:7. The Bible says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask whatever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Why? Because you're going to know what God's will is, and you'll know exactly what to pray for, and they'll all be answered. See how that works? And so there's a lot more to getting answered prayer than just naming and claiming the name of Jesus, right? There's a lot more to that. If our heart is right with God, and our heart is right with our fellow man, then we'll pray according to God's will. And you're going to find that there'll be a lot less time spend on your knees begging and pleading with God for something that isn't according to his will. Right? And you wonder why the prayers don't get answered. Are we praying in the will of God? Are we doing this for ourselves? Or are we doing this so that we can be right with God? And that's the most important thing, being right with God. And you'll be right with man, and you'll pray what you need to pray. And so look, if you would, in 1 Timothy. There's four types of prayers, folks. There's four types of prayers in the Bible here. Maybe more, but in 1 Timothy, it looks like there's four types. In verse 2, the Bible says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Okay? So the first type of prayer is called supplication. And folks, that's just simply asking God to supply all your needs, your daily needs, your yearly needs, your monthly needs, whatever you need. And we know in the Bible that what you really need is food and raiment. We know that. But there's other things. We might need things to do service for God. We might need things to do other things. So, and God knows what those are, folks. He knows what the sparrow needs. The sparrow's got feathers, And guess what the sparrow gets every day? Fed from God, right? And God's going to take care of us. We know that. And if he decides not to, hey, he'll take care of us in heaven, right? He'll take care of us in heaven. But there's four types of prayers. The first is supplication, and that's just asking God to supply our needs. The second prayer is communion and fellowship. Prayers, right? That's just simply talking to God about your everyday things. Just letting him know what you're going through and just being in fellowship with the Lord. It's called communion, fellowship with God. And that's what John talks about in the first chapters. And he's wanting you to be in fellowship with God and talking to him all the time. And so, thirdly, is intercessions. That's the third type of prayers. And that's just praying for somebody else. Praying for somebody else. Fourth is the giving of thanks and to be made for all men. And so the point God is saying here is, you know, God wants to talk to us. He wants us to talk to him about everything. He wants us to talk to him about our daily needs. He wants to talk to him about things that we don't need. We're just having a conversation with him, right? He wants us to pray for others. He wants us to be thankful. And let them know that we're thankful and pray about that thing, those things. And so, folks, we're told to pray without ceasing. You know, that's what the Bible says. And when you look at those four things right there, there's enough information there that we could go on our whole life and talk to God for the rest of our life at every minute of the day. Look at all the things we have to be thankful for, just in thanks, right? That's a prayer to God, thanking him. And again, there's so many people that we can be praying for. There's the body of Christ. There's Christians all over this world. Christians all over this world, missionaries everywhere, right? And we don't know what to pray for them, but God does, and God knows what they need, and God will take our prayers and turn it into what they need, right? I mean, think about it. When we're praying to God, God wants to hear what we need to say to him. And that's what the Holy Spirit is there for, to take those mumblings and whatever we're praying and make them right before the Lord. And that's what he does. But look, if you would, that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And so we're told to pray without ceasing. Folks, look at all the things we need throughout the day, right? Those are things that we could just bring forth to God. And so we don't need a prayer book, folks. We don't need a prayer book here. We're told to pray on the spot. We don't need to have a book where we go and, oh, all hail Mother God and all this other stuff. Look, if you would, in Romans 12. We don't need that prayer book. Paul tells us to pray on the spot here. The Bible says in 12:12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And to back this up a little bit more, look if you would in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. He wants you to pray on a spot, no matter where you are. You can talk to the Lord at any time, at any moment of the day. Hey, I don't think God goes to sleep, folks. When you talk to him, he's going to have his ear out listening. And so, folks, it's easy to pray when things are going good, right? No, it's easy to pray when things are going bad. And it's hard to pray when things are going good and you don't have a care in the world. And there are times when our prayers, folks, need to be fervent, even when things are going good. Here's a man, Elijah, James, James 5:16. Hebrews James. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There are times, folks, when we need to pray and pray and pray. Like, look at what Jesus did in the garden. He was fervent in prayer. But you know what? He still went to the cross. He still went to the cross. But it says right here, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. I think he prayed for what, 3 years or something? But he prayed earnestly that it would rain, and it rained not on earth, okay, by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And so, folks, we need to be fervent in prayer. Not only that, but it's not wrong to be repetitious in prayer. I mean, we've heard the Bible verse about vain repetition, right? I think that's found in Luke. Look, if you would, in Luke 18. Luke 18. If you think it's wrong to say the same prayer over and over again, why did Jesus pray 3 times in the garden the same prayer over and over again? 3 times. Look at what Paul said. He's prayed it over and over again about the hindrance of that that thorn in the flesh. I think it's Luke 18. 1. Here's a woman that goes to the judge day after day after day after day asking for something. And what does the judge finally do? Gives her what she wants because she's bugging him. But look, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he goes on to say, saying that there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? There's a time, folks. People are going to say, how long, O Lord? How long? Right? Vain prayers or repetitious prayers are not, they're not wrong to do, folks. But they are wrong if you're a heathen, because God's not going to hear them because you're praying to somebody else. Right? Vain babblings of the, vain repetitions like the heathen do. That's what the heathen, they pray to their God and it's vain. But there's nothing wrong for a Christian who's praying from the heart to God, even if it's the same prayer day in and day out. Same prayer about a loved one. Same prayer about thanking God for the food. Would you bless the food? But not only that, folks, we're to pray that we don't enter into temptation. That's what we're to pray for. That's God's will, that we don't enter into temptation. And that's praying in the will of God. You realize that? When you pray not to go into some sin, you're praying for the will of God. And that prayer is going to be answered. Look, if you would, in Matthew 26. We're almost done. Matthew 26:41. The Bible says, 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. God's will is that not only that you not enter into temptation, but you want to know what his will for every Christian's life is? It's not to worry. It's not to worry. Look, if you would, in Philippians. And like I said, we're almost done here. Last verse that we're going to look up. Philippians 4:6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Folks, worrying about things is going to hinder your prayer life with the Lord. And it's God's will that your prayer life, which is a very vitally important thing in every Christian's life, His will is that your prayers are not hindered. And if you're right with God and you're right with fellow man, folks, your prayers are going to be answered because you're going to be praying in the will of God. We can be confident that if we pray according to the will of God, that not only will our prayers be heard, but there will be answered. And we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we thank you for these great promises. And Father, we know that being right with you is the most important. And if we're right with you, we know we're going to be right with our fellow man. And if we're right with those two things, we pretty much, as your word says, we've fulfilled the law, Lord. And we just need to be right with your words and believe them and obey them, so that our prayers are not hindered and that we're praying in accordance to the will of God. And we know when we're confident that our prayers are going to be answered then. And we're thankful for that promise and encouragement. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.